The White Network presents The Heretics Hour with Carolyn Yeager.
Oh. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the March 10th edition of The Heretics Hour in our new Daylight Savings Time schedule. From now on, we have to be very careful in coordinating with guests and others living outside the United States who don't have the same time change that we just had. And yesterday with Paul's show, it showed that nobody was aware of it. Naturally, Paul Hickman wouldn't be aware of it. and he filed his show for the regular time. But I didn't know about it. I hadn't been paying much attention to the news, and I didn't see anything. I thought, well, it must not be time for that yet. And Tanstoffel wasn't aware of it either. So Paul's show was a little bit late, but it did get up there, you know, and I don't think anybody was too put out about it. With this daylight saving time, I complain about it every time. I like when we go back, when we gain the hour in the fall, but it's really hard to have a day where you have one less hour in it and you're supposed to follow, you know, trying to follow the clock. Well, I'm not following the clock. I'm still on the old time, even though I changed my clocks. so I wouldn't get confused, but, I'm not living by it, and it takes a while to get used to it. I want to, start out by thanking Steve from Modesto, California, for a generous contribution to CarolynYeager.com last week. That's where I really needed it, and it certainly is very much appreciated. And as far as I'm concerned, this is the first time for Steve, so I really welcome Steve as a listener and contributor. Now, last week, I started out titling the Heretics Hour program, Are Clowns in Our Ranks a Serious Problem or Just a Minor Irritation? Then I added some other content and I changed. So after the program, I changed the title because it didn't seem to be that's what the program was really about. And, but I still had a lot of material that I didn't use because I had added some new things, as I said. So, I'm going to do that clown thing next week, which is tonight, this week. And, but once again, you know, I was having a hard time with it. So I didn't use the title about clowns in our movement or clowns in our ranks or anything. Excuse me. So I'm, because I start feeling like I'm picking on weak people or making fun of people that doesn't have any purpose to it. I do think there is purpose, but I'm trying to, you know, make the purpose clear. And as I do so, I add things and pretty soon I'm on a different, sort of a track. so once again, I didn't even send out email announcement today. I did put something on my website, but I don't know if it's going to, I already don't like that title, although, it is pertinent to today's show in a lot of ways, and maybe I will, point that out as we go along. But I feel like I have to be serious and, have a serious intent for the show. Not just, point out foibles and stupidities of people. So today's program has been in flux, as I've said, up until, you know, now even. And I think I'm trying to take a number of items and tie them together in some way now, because there's a number of things that I want to say that seem to fit together, but they don't really fall into a subject that you can call something. So, we'll see what this program ends up, being named. And, I'll just, continue by saying that we're often told that we shouldn't fight with each other, but fight the real enemy with a united front. Fight the Jew. What about those who talk about fighting the Jew, but everyone who criticizes them is called a Jew? I'm not one of those people. I don't call people Jews when I don't believe that they really are. But I think that calling people within the active anti-Jew community, which is our community, calling such people a Jew just because you want to get back at them for something is a sign of a problem in the ranks. I'm going to be going on with that, but right now I'm going to point out that I learned today that the Southern Poverty Law Center has a hate map that they've put up. I don't know how new it is. I think it's somewhat new because a newspaper reporter from some Texas newspaper, I don't even remember now, I didn't go back to check, wrote to my website, carolynyeager.net, in the contact page where you can just write your email and send it, and it comes to me. And he said that there was a SPLC had a hate map, new hate map, and I was on it, and did I have a comment as to what I thought about being on their hate map. So I went to look at it, and there it is, and I of course I looked at Texas, and it's silly, you know. It's so silly. I mean, but I want to say a few things about it, because both CarolynYeager.net and The White Network are listed on there as coming from the state of Texas, and called the crime that these sites are committing is white nationalism. They have listed there after each name. They have the map, you know, and then they say how many hate sites are in that state, and you can click on that or click on something else too, and get the list of the sites, and they're the usual things you'd imagine, although I really don't know why CarolynYeager.net, I don't know why either one of our sites is on there, because they say at the underneath the map somewhere, hate group activities, wait a minute, no, here, they start with this. Yes, no, this list, this is what they say, this list was compiled using hate group publications and websites, citizen and law enforcement reports, field sources, and news reports. Hate group activities can include criminal acts, marches, rallies, speeches, meetings, leafleting, or publishing. Websites appearing to be merely the work of a single individual rather than the publication of a group are not included in this list. Listing here does not imply a group advocates or engages in violence or other criminal activity. Well, certainly, I don't know, CarolynYeager.net is the work of a single individual, me. There's no group behind me. There's nobody else there, and all the posts are posted by me, and you don't see anything else. But they decided to put me on there. Not that I really care, you know, I'm not complaining, I'm not worrying about it. But I mean, I just say that they don't really follow their rules there. And I, truthfully, the White Network is not a group either. It's just Tanstoffel and I, you know, two people, not a single person, but two people. In any case, I found that the person who's going to be quite a bit the subject of tonight's program, again, as following on with last week, Rodney Martin. I looked for him in California, and there were both his sites are there too, as originating in Porterville, and the Worldview Foundations, and also the American Nationalist Association. Well, if one is called a foundation and the other association, I suppose that is you know, that that fits what you'd call a group. But I didn't see a lot. I didn't look, though. I didn't look all over the map. So there's all those others are probably there. I didn't. There are some websites I wondered about, and I went to the state that I thought it might be shown as coming from, and they weren't. It wasn't there. So they're kind of particular as to who they're upset about, and I'm not too happy, but I'm not surprised that they're upset about. I'm not surprised, especially at the White Network, but I'm a little bit surprised about CarolynJaeger.net, but they don't like that either. So so there we go, just a little bit of tidbit gossip stuff there. But another thing that's new tonight is that I have a new SkyCon page that was just introduced to me today by Tan Stoffel. And it has a great improvement on it in calling up, in answering phone calls and even hanging up phone calls at just a click of the mouse. So no more typing in a code for me, which isn't that much, but would always take me a little while. Now all I have to do, I see it there. It's a little green thing. It says call or something like that. And I just click on that, and it answers the call. And then the little green thing turns to a red thing, which says hang up. And I can hang up on people, too, the same way. Just click it, and they're gone. I can right now hang up on myself if I want to, but, of course, I'm not going to do that. Anyway, it's a great improvement, and Tan has some more improvements in mind. So this one took him... 4 weeks he's been working on it. I don't mean he works on it full time, but he works on it, he said, a little bit every day. So this is all very time consuming to get in there and figure out how to make these things happen and how to write all the code for it. So it's wonderful. It's wonderful that here at the White Network, we have our own in-house computer expert, and we don't have to pay for having this kind of thing done. And we don't have to be on Blog Talk or the others, talk shoe or anything like that to do our programs. This week I got I want to mention a couple of comments from people. One was at the Daily Stormer for, which program was that? The program, yeah, last week's Heretics Hour. And Dave Marshall wrote a comment to that where it was available at the Daily Stormer. And he was saying, well, I'll just read it. Holocaust revisionism may be a main weapon we use to defend our position, but it has merit in and of itself. Well, I did say that on last week's program, that was true, but, and then I had a but. And anyway, he goes on, one of the principal revisionists many of us refer to is Robert Faurisson. He is not laboring on behalf of any version of white nationalist, puts white nationalists in a little quote. His aim is to correct the record and the distortion of history and events, mainly as they relate to the extortion racket of the myth makers. Their use of the myth to oppress Palestine, and also he wants to free a party wrongly convicted of a crime, the Germans. In other areas, Faurisson is not politically outside of the mainstream. He is of the center. Well, I don't know exactly where he is, but I would say that's pretty close. And I'm aware of that. So, he says the notion that Holocaust revisionism has to be about white nationalism is a logically fallacy. Well, he meant logical fallacy. But when you write comments, sometimes you make mistakes. I do too. He thought he would comment that about me remarking that Holocaust revisionism, while I said it did have a purpose of its own, and I didn't say it should be, well, I said if it's not about also ensuring or wanting to ensure and secure white nations and keeping them white, then if in the end we're just going to have what you might say the end of the Holocaust, but we'll still be under the power of the Jews and nothing else will change about our national lives, then what's the point, you know? And he's kind of taking issue with that. And I said, keeping your nation white and free of Jewish control is exactly what Adolf Hitler was after. And I'm after the same thing. I see it the same way. And I also say that what I said was not a logical fallacy, because a logical fallacy is a flaw in reasoning. And I looked this up too. Logical fallacies are like tricks or illusions of thought, and they're often very sneakily used by politicians and the media to fool people. And, but I don't think he's correct about that. He then goes on to say Mr. Hoffman can have his version of a Catholic world, because I talked about Michael Hoffman too, if you recall. And, Marshall says, Hoffman should not be condemned for not falling in line with original National Socialism. I think it's funny what people read into things as though I condemned Hoffman for that reason. I criticized Hoffman for saying things that weren't true, you know, but he doesn't go into that. And he says, if Hoffman makes inaccurate statements, well, there he goes into it there, about, say, Jewish involvement in building up the Third Reich, which the above video claim did appear, be it inventors or whatnot, then that is an error that can be corrected. Ah, la, 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 la. So here we have, he thinks that I'm insisting that the aim of Holocaust revisionism be white nationalism. And that's really not what I said. And, but I think that, Holocaust revisionism should lead to, there needs to be a concern, about this, the integrity of white nations, and that there can be white nations. And Holocaust revisionism is being used to deprive us of that. And so that's a part of the whole package. In the way that I see it, and I was saying that's the way that I think it is, and so I'm pointing that out. Now, another person wrote a comment to the White Network about last week's show, and this was someone named Danny Wilson. I've gotten a couple of things from him before in the comments relating to what I say about Rodney Martin, and this one, he wrote, Carolyn, I feel embarrassed on your behalf by your obsession with Rodney Martin. Well, I didn't approve the comment because I didn't think there was any point in it. He was really just writing to me and trying to be in some way, put me down. He's embarrassed for me. Oh, I'm obsessed with Rodney Martin. Well, what is an obsession, ladies and gentlemen? Eric Hunt was on my show Saturday, and is he obsessed with the Holocaust? Well, you could say that. He puts all of his attention on it, and that's what basically all the work that he's been doing for many years. How about Guillermo Rudolph? How about Robert Faurisson, who was mentioned above? How about Vincent Renoir and Bradley Smith even? Are they all obsessed with the Holocaust? How about me? You know, if you think something is important and you're going to work on it and you want to get to the bottom of it, or you want to understand everything about it so you can help others to do so, then it takes a lot of attention. You can't do it just by saying, oh, well, I'm aware of this and that's all I need to know. I don't need to talk about it all the time. So I will, it follows from this that I see what Rodney represents as a big problem. I do. There's a lot of people who think it's not a problem, who would like to think it's not a problem, and would like to say, oh, just leave everybody alone, let everybody do their thing, and maybe something good will come of it. And why do all this fighting amongst the people on the inside? Now, I was going to call this program, I did tentatively name it on my site today, The Enemy Within and The Enemy Without. Previously, I had Clowns in the Movement, but it's not really about clowns because it's not funny and it's not a joke. I think it's serious. And I do want to talk about The Enemy Without as well as The Enemy Within, but it sounds so kind of, you know, dire and over the top a bit. So I don't think I'll use it, but it's fairly fitting. I don't know if I'm going to get to The Enemy Without today. The rate I'm going here, I won't. I have some people I would like to talk about from without, and that's a lot easier than The Enemy Within. So, I will go on and, go ahead with this Enemy Within in that I see it as a problem. I see, Rodney himself as an example of this problem. And therefore, I think it's important and useful to look closely at it. And you can't do it without, looking at a lot of areas and looking at a lot of things. And I keep finding more. And I had some more that I just didn't have time for last week. So I'm going to continue with this. I'm dogged about it. Once I get on to something, I just don't feel okay if I don't put everything up, if I'm not thorough about it. That's a trait of Germans, and I certainly have that trait. I like to be thorough. And for some people, it would be too thorough and, you know, call it an obsession and an embarrassment and so on. But I would like to cover a little bit more of that because I just can't take our predicament as white people easily or lightly and think that. And I don't agree that the more people you have in there doing things and saying things, the better it's got to be. That's not necessarily true. And last week I ended up calling my show about that we need to have a consistent message. And so that's kind of where I'm coming from here. Now, so what I looked at, the American Nationalist Association, of course, the website, and I finally got around to looking at the extra pages. I don't know if they maybe weren't always all there before, or I just didn't pay any attention to them. That menu at the top. And so I want to talk about the page of the board of directors. Now, the American Nationalist Association is a kind of a funny name, for this group to start with. You know, what is an American? I always thought it was funny. An American nationalist. There are some American nationalist movements, but they're not racial. They downplay the racial part. They might personally feel racial or prefer to have white people, but they don't want to say so, and make it policy or make it known and be on the SPLC's hate map, if they can help it, although they get on there anyway. They're put on there anyway, an American is not considered anymore a white person. America has had non-whites in it for so long, and people don't even consider it to be white. So American nationalists really means something different than what this group is saying that they stand for, which is exclusively white. So there's a problem there. They either started out with something as something else and then worked their way to this, or to be more open about this or whatever, but it doesn't make sense. Now, on the board of directors page, there's three people mentioned: Rodney Martin, Robert Lloyd, who's Rodney Martin is chairman, Robert Lloyd is vice chairman, and then our friend Christopher Borsella, who is named now just Christopher Borsella. They leave me off the John. And of course, I was talking about him as he used to call himself, Cristo Gianni Borsella. There's a lot of stuff on the internet under that name, which he would like everybody to forget about, I'm sure. But if you, I linked to some of it on the program post of some previous programs about these folks, so you can find it there. You'd have to go back to that post. But it says, now what I found was that each of these three people wrote their own biographical, their own biography here. You know, their own little, these are bios of the three of them. You know, these are the directors. We're being introduced to the board of directors of the ANA. And they are these three gentlemen. Oh, I forgot. Christopher John Borsella is the secretary treasurer. And now in a recent program, he's been moved up to being executive secretary. So he's now the executive secretary and the treasurer, unfortunately. So now Rodney writes about himself, and the other two have written their own. You can tell. You can just tell. And Rodney's is the longest, but he says the least. And what I want to point out in this is that Rodney speaks. I just moved my mic back a little bit. Rodney speaks, uses a lot of words, but he doesn't give us much information. I'm going to point that out. And it's the same thing. Last week, I had at one point I had made a little short list and said Rodney needs to tell us about these things. He needs to make it clear, when he was born and where and who his parents are and so on. And then he needs to tell us exactly when he was in the military and when he got out and what he did there. He needs to be clear about his education, because it's different things in different places. And all of these things he needs to say and something else I might have said. And no matter how much I bring up and ask these questions, Rodney doesn't answer them. And if he's the chairman of a nationalist association that is asking for members, and I'll just say right here, because it's very important, and I've got it at the bottom, but now I'm not going to find it. I'll just give the basics of it, that the membership that they're asking now, really going on a membership drive, asking for members $30 a year to be a member of this. I don't know what you get from it, nothing. I don't know, they don't talk about anything. They do say that it's an honor to be a member of this. $30 for an individual, $60 for a family, $20 for a student. See, I've remembered this. $20 for a student and $20 for a active member of the military. And you have to show that you're actually those things. So that's it. That's pretty high, actually. Of course, you have to think, well, these people are really going to work on my behalf. They're going to accomplish something to help, change this horrible situation that we're in here in the United States of America with our president, our Congress, our our laws, our, you know, our, well, everything that's going in the exact opposite direction from where we'd like it to go. So they're going to do this. Now, who are these people? And why would I put my faith in them? Well, when you read about Rodney Martin, you don't learn anything except what he has been wanting people to know about him from day one. From the time in 2011, that he introduced himself to me and via email and so on. He told me these things then, made a big point of it. He's been married to the same woman for 20 years or whatever many years it was then. They have 5 children. They homeschool their children. These are facts that, it is true, apparently. Apparently they homeschool their children. I don't disbelieve that. These are things that he has been putting out in front of himself for the last, ever since he's been on the scene here. You know, making himself look great because he's got 5 white children and they homeschool their children, and so on. So now that's what he says here. And he starts out saying Rodney Martin descends from, he calls himself, okay, he actually starts out saying, ANN chairman Rodney Martin is an American ethno-nationalist. He's given up on white nationalists. He said that a few weeks ago. He's so angry at white nationalists that he says they're no good. And so he's wanted to call himself something different. So now he's using ethno-nationalist, political activist, historian and researcher. And historian and researcher are both capitalized. I mean, in, you know, start with a capital letter, which they shouldn't, but anyway. Rodney Martin descends from German and Scottish families. He was raised by very traditional fraternal German grandparents who raised him from birth. Now, there's problems with that right there, his sentence to his writing. He doesn't write properly, and he uses fraternal when he means paternal. His, you know, on his father's side, fraternal means brotherly. But note, does nobody proofread this stuff? You know, nobody proofreads Rodney's writing. The other ones don't have these kind of problems in them. But Rodney's does. But I guess that nobody's going to tell Rodney that he's done something wrong or whatever, or they don't even read it. I don't know. But you know, he says he was raised by German grandparents. Well, were they born in Germany? Where were his grandparents born? Otherwise, they'd be German-American grandparents. We don't know. He then says, after that, Martin's German family, which I would think should be ancestors, but anyway, Martin's German family were East Prussians from Elbing and Marienburg. Now, maybe that he's referring to his two German grandparents were from Elbing and Marienburg. And so that's why he calls them his family. But you see, the way that's written, it's left unclear, and you don't really know. Then he says his maternal family hails from Duns, Scotland. I'm sure I read here that it says that his grandparents raised him from birth. So his mother wasn't there from the beginning. She gave birth and then she was gone. Well, she didn't raise him from birth. So, but he knows where they're from. They're from Duns, Scotland. That's another mystery that you'd think he could clear up. He never, ever has, and nobody ever asks him except me. Now, he says that he prides himself on having researched his family history to 1710 and says his family history remains a work in progress. See, telling us all that, what do we care? We don't get the facts, but we get all this story that he wants us to know how he's looking into his family history. Then he says, he writes, Chairman Martin, he calls himself in here several times, Chairman Martin. Well, he's writing this as though somebody's interviewing him or somebody else is writing it about him. But you know from the way it's written that it's him. It can't be anybody else. He's unmistakable. So Chairman Martin is considered by many to be a prolific debater and speaker on behalf of European ethno-nationalism. He's considered by many, you know, who? Name somebody. But he's considered by many to be a great debater and speaker. And on behalf of Germany, both inside and outside the ethno-nationalist movement, gobbledygook, you know, there. And then he is especially respected by many Germans around the globe who view him as an advocate for German history and traditions. Now, here especially, he should name somebody. He never names anybody, but he's telling us how many people respect him so much for his great knowledge and advocacy and so on. Then he goes back to his wife, and or he goes back to giving reasons why he's authentic, because he's been persecuted. So he says he and his wife have been targets of opposition and attacks for their opposition to miscegenation by Jewish activists. You know, that's funny. In his hometown. Now, again, we've heard him say this, but he hasn't pointed to any news stories in the newspaper saying that Rodney Martin's family was attacked or Jews were doing this or that. He just says these things. He writes, Martin has replied to these attacks by responding, quote, I, like every normal person, want my grandchildren to look like me. I just say it openly. Now, that's very similar to what Rodney Martin wrote in something that I talked about last week. Trying to remember it, which showed that he wrote that too, in which he's, oh yeah, in the Metapedia page, where he adds on that Metapedia page that he put up about himself, that my wife is more hardcore than I am. I mean, that was such a stupid thing to say on a Metapedia page. But, and this is a stupid thing to say here, because it has no meaning, you know, because he needs to put out the facts about why he believes what he does, not things like this. So anyway, he goes on, you know, now again, with the wife Peggy been married for 20 years, his wife is of German and Irish ethnicity. They met while Martin was briefly training at the U.S. Army base at Fort Lewis in Washington State, before his deployment to Somalia. Now, we don't know anything about Peggy either. He doesn't tell us when they were married. You know, and these things you usually say, Rodney Martin was born in such and such a year to, you know, and give the name of his parents and some, you know, and maybe then his grandparents who raised him and something like that. And then his education and then his military, you know, or he met his wife and give her name. We don't know Peggy's last name, except for her married name. He talks a lot about her family, but never gives their name. I'm not saying that I don't, you know, think that any of this exists. I just mean that why does he not want to put out, he doesn't want people to be able to track anything. He doesn't want people to be able to look things up and find out, you know, anything at all. Even about his military time. So then he goes on about how they're the parents of five children, all of which are homeschooled, and how they've been foster parents to 11 other white children. He says these things a lot, and he puts it in this bio, as this is going to make him Mr. Good Guy and impress the people. But it really doesn't, you know, he doesn't seem to understand that this is just him saying these things with never any evidence whatsoever that any of it ever happened. Not that you think it didn't happen, but, you know, it's used to make him, look the way he thinks that he wants people to see him, but he doesn't want them to know anything about him, anything real. And I was going to say that I think that Rodney Martin is, His main method of doing things is to, is to make, is to be something for everybody. Be what everybody wants. You know, to offer something for as many people as possible, which is the sign of a politician. That's what politicians do. They learn that. I mean, it's what you have to do. If you're going to get the majority of the votes or whatever, you've got to convince a whole lot of people that you are on their side and that you are going to do something for them or whatever. And so that's the approach that Rodney is taking, that he wants to, he doesn't want to alienate anybody, if he can help it. So, then he goes on with this, with his own, praise for himself, and mentioning people, who think highly of him. We don't hear it actually from these people, but he tells us, Martin tells us, Chairman Martin's workhorse efforts have not gone unnoticed by movement heavyweights such as Mark Weber, Thomas Goodrich, David Duke, Frederick Toben, Norman Lowell, and Deanna Spingola. And I have to say, you know, since when did Thomas Goodrich become a movement heavyweight? I mean, I would say he would deny that he was in any movement, but who knows? According to Mark Weber, director of the Institute for Historic Review, and he's still calling the Institute for Historical Review historic. And I think I finally saw it once somewhere where it was historical, somewhere recently. So maybe Mark Weber finally, you know, got through to him and corrected him on that. But this is, again, the kind of thing that he'll do over and over and over again and never notice what's wrong with it, calling it the Institute for Historic Review. And that sentence continues, Rodney Martin has coined a term which Weber says he and others have begun using. It's the culture, stupid, a play on the 1992 presidential theme used against George H.W. Bush. According to Martin, the economy is an easy fix, but when your culture is corrupted, everything else is easy to destroy. Thus, we have to restore our culture, unquote. Martin also refers to the United States as Weimar America in his writings and various radio appearances and broadcast making, and broadcasts should be plural, making comparison of the United States to the Weimar Republic. Martin is quoted as saying that the Weimar Republic was the blueprint for what Jewish Marxists would later do in Europe and the United States, both economically and culturally. Well, that's what he, that's all the good words he got from Mark Weber, which he's telling us here, and how important this is to his biographical information, I don't know. But then he continues. He talks about each one of these people he mentioned. He then says, author Thomas Goodrich, famous for his book Hellstorm, The Death of Nazi Germany, 1944-1948, has said, quote, Rodney Martin is a national treasure because of his in-depth knowledge of history and his research and knowledge of original source material, unquote. And then he does the same with others, and I'll just add in here that the way he gets this is that he does interviews with these people. He's done interviews with all these people. He's been on radio with them. And then he'll praise them, you see, and say, oh, you are just fantastic historian, and the work you've done is so important to the truth. And then they'll have to, or they usually will, not just say, well, thank you, but often people will then feel they need to reply to that compliment, and they'll say, well, you know, Rodney, you are, your work has been very important too. And, you know, these kinds of things are said between people without much meaning, but Rodney now keeps track of this and he's, using it for himself, later on here, you know. So now he goes on to David Duke and says, Dr. David Duke praised Martin in an interview on November 22nd, 2013, saying he, Duke, was very was very impressed by Martin's intellectual knowledge and abilities, and that it quote, it was great to verbally shake hands with such a dedicated human rights activist, unquote, as Martin. Now, that's what David Duke said. And then he writes, the very next day, Dr. Frederick Tobin, in an interview with Martin, praised Martin, saying that Martin lived a Wagnerian life, speaking of Martin's dedication to family and German Nordic traditions. On December 28, 2013, Norman Lowell commented on his forum, Rodney Martin, what an articulate man. Then, finally, Spingola Speaks host Deanna Spingola often praises the detail of Martin's original source research and his devotion to real history. Now, knowing that Rodney has written this himself, it's interesting, you know, it's an interesting look at this person. What his personality is like, I guess you'd say, or how foolish he thinks people are. He must be, you know, in my opinion, he's not too bright, but he's a go-getter kind of thing. And so, he puts a lot of energy into what he does, and he thinks that he can fool people. It's obvious that he thinks he can fool people. Now, I've been in some communication with Frederick Tobin, and I don't want to say things that, you know, but he does it himself. I mean, he's very open about everything. And I pointed out to him that Rodney had written this. And what bothered him was that he was in the same sentence with Mark Weber. So he wrote to Rodney, and he shared this with me. And he asked Rodney, I won't read it word for word, but he asked Rodney to remove his name from his website, because he didn't want to be, even though he says, I usually subscribe to the principle of no guilt by association. Still, he says, I need to make an exception and distance myself from your program notes. And would be pleased if you could delete them. I cannot accept sharing any association with Mark Weber because via legal means he stole the IHR from Willis Carto. And although that was some years ago, and he's not the only revisionist involved in this plot, I do not wish to be associated with someone who praises Mark Weber for whatever reason. And he goes on a little bit more. But however, I will bet he said he ends saying, so Rodney, please delete my name. And good luck in your venture, and kindest regards, Frederick. However, I don't think Rodney Martin will honor that request at all. And he'll just keep all that stuff there, and plus all those pictures on his website and so on, of Frederick. Now, Rodney goes on in this long thing about himself. Chairman Martin, he says, is also a regular commentator on press TV. Well, that's a kind of a new thing, but he's been making as much as he can over that. I think he must have gotten an in there via Mark Glenn. That's my idea, but I don't know. I don't know that for a fact. I don't know how people get on press TV, but it doesn't seem to be very hard. Now, he then says, again, Chairman Martin retired in 2009 from his professional services firm, which provided land development, government relations, and professional contracted management and administrative services. This is actually in 2009 when he, in my opinion, got fired by the Indian tribe. And he was pretending that this was all, he's pretended since that his work with the Indian tribe was all done as a professional contractor from his firm, his own little company there. But it actually wasn't. And at that time, he says he retired from his little business. And then he says he also served for a time on the staff of a U.S. congressman assigned to military and veteran issues. Now, here he's confusing this because he served on the staff of the congressman before 2009, before 2007. As far as I understand, before he worked for the Indian reservation. This is what was said in that interview that he did in 2007, January 2007, with his local newspaper, with the Porterville newspaper. But he may have worked there again afterwards. I don't know. But in any case, he doesn't give dates. And this is exactly the same, brings to mind so much Elie Wiesel, who I've commented so many times in my articles and on the website. What is the name of that website? Elie Wiesel Cons the World. That Elie Wiesel makes a point not to give as few dates as possible. Once in a while, he's got a date there so you can kind of get oriented a little bit. But generally, he doesn't give dates. He doesn't give names of people. He doesn't give information so that you can construct any kind of a timeline. And that is exactly what Rodney Martin behaves just like a Jew. I'm not calling him a Jew. I don't think he is a Jew, although he said his German family, his German ancestors came from Prussia. Prussia is that's Poland now. And there were a lot of Jews in that area, a lot of Jews in Prussia and that part of that when it was Germany. And because there were Jews in that area. And so you never know what kind of background, but still in all, I have no knowledge of that and don't necessarily think so, but his behavior is still completely like the Jews. And I'm going to go into a little more of that shortly. So here here I am talking about how he doesn't, he says he served for a time on this, doesn't give this congressman's name either, on the staff of a U.S. congressman. I mean, it would just be normal, the most normal thing in the world to write, you know, in such and such a year or whatever, he was served on the staff of Congressman so-and-so. No, it doesn't even give that. Why not? Well, it must be he doesn't want to make it easy for you to look anything up. He ran for various local offices. Rodney, he writes that about himself, various local offices. The only office I know that he ran for was city councilman of Porterville, in Porterville, twice. Once in 2010, the second time in 2012. Both times he did very poorly, came in with, towards the bottom, not at the bottom, but with very few votes. But he tried hard to get the Mexican vote. That's clear, from what we can tell about it, from what's in the newspaper and what he wrote and so on. But he doesn't want to even say that. He'll just say various local offices. On what he called nationalist and populist platforms, so he says now. He didn't write a run on a nationalist platform for city councilman in Porterville in 2010 and 2012. That would never have gone over. But he says that now, as well as law and order. He proposed tough anti-drug proposals and local ordinances that would all but remove pedophiles from city limits. He also is often quoted as saying that most all of the most pressing problems were caused by demographics. Demographics. Well, how vague can you get? Here he is talking as the chairman of the American Nationalist Association for White People only, and he still he's referring to what he said when he was a candidate. But he's calling it demographics instead of illegal immigration or things like that. Then he says Martin's entire family participated in his various political campaigns. Well, again, various. You know, why doesn't he say what, how many and what they were? I think it was just those two. Then he ends up almost over here. Rodney Martin and his family live just north of Los Angeles. He won't even say he lives in Porterville. He says north of Los Angeles. Martin is an avid reader and classical music fan. Martin says he spends his Sunday afternoons listening to music on LPs. He also collects military antiques and has a collection of original German firearms and rare books. Martin also enjoys flying, skydiving, shooting, boxing, hunting, and deep sea fishing. Well, I wonder when he was flying and when he's skydiving. Never heard anything about that or about shooting. All, you know, anything's possible, but Martin says he is also very fond of quiet time with his wife and a glass of German wine and an occasional fine cigar. Well, I spent a long time on that, ready for the break already, but I didn't lose my listeners, so I do hope that I didn't drag it out too much, but I think the point is that what did we learn from that? What does anybody learn except a kind of a public relations policy that Rodney has in the way he talks about himself and how he continues to hide information and not want people to know except what he, the little general things that he tells them. Mainly, he's married to a woman for all these years and they have five children and they homeschool their children. Well, we've got Dietrich Fischer Dieskau for our break music. So enjoy that, ladies and gentlemen, and I will be back after it completes.
Weilen, dass man nicht trieb hinaus.
Well, that is certainly beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Carolyn Yeager, and it is March 10th, 2014. You're listening to the Heretics Hour. I am trying to finish up and feel like I've done a thorough job on the Rodney Martin problem. And I've really got a lot to go, but I'm going to try to get it all in here in the second hour. So, I want to mention, though, that what I was saying before the break, that biographical information that Rodney provided has not one word about his education, you know, of his any college education. And as I said, the same thing is true of his Metapedia page. Not one word about this. And yet in that in that interview in January 2007, the well-known one where it said that his wife is a Cherokee, Eastern Cherokee Indian, it also said that he graduated, I think it says graduated, from William Jewell University. And I talked about William Jewell University last week, and it's not a university, it's a college. But still, if that's true, why is it not mentioned? When we go, Robert Lloyd's bio is fairly short and what you'd expect, you know, I'm not going to talk about that. But Christopher Borsella, you can tell he wrote his too. It's written very differently than Rodney's, and it's much more appropriate for what it is. And he has become Rodney's number two man, in spite of the fact that that's why he was raised up to executive secretary, because Rodney really needs him, because he can write. And he says he has a master's degree, and he knows how to write and to punctuate correctly and so on. And in spite of those good qualities, I believe that he's a homosexual, and it's not at all fitting for him to be a part of this organization with Rodney for that reason. And I've mentioned that before, and for all of his big mouth stuff earlier toward me in various forums and venues, he never said a word about that. He has never replied to that. He has never yelled at me for that or attacked me for saying that. He has never defended himself. And I have noticed that he is now not saying anything about me. And that his program that he is doing tonight, this very night, his program was announced that he was going to have as his guest, the Christian identity, Eli James, who has a program on the ANN. Why would Chris Borsella be interviewing Eli James except to promote their network? His background is so unlike anything to do with Christian identity, and Eli James is such a fraud anyway. But it's interesting how he has changed. What I want to point out about Borsella is how he seems to have just reinvented himself in order to fit into this organization and become a devotee, truly a devotee of Rodney Martin. He is like a chameleon in that he just changes his colors and fits in wherever he can, which is something that homosexuals are good at doing. Christopher Borsella, here's what he wrote for himself, his own thing. Christopher Borsella, and they've dropped the John. He was still calling himself Christopher John Borsella just, a month ago or two weeks ago, but now that's gone. Christopher Borsella is the popular host of both the Imperium Mandate and Ethno News Now, appearing every Monday and Tuesday night, respectively, whereas the Imperium Mandate provides pro-white activists with an unbiased platform to express, now is that the one that's on tonight? I guess so, yeah. Tonight is the Imperium Mandate. To express and promote their views, Ethno News Now is a weekly one-hour news update on all the most relevant news stories affecting white people globally. Borsella received now that's appropriate to say, you know, what shows he has there to start out that way. Borsella received the inspiration for his Imperium Mandate radio program from his own literary magnum opus, The Imperium Manifesto, second edition, 2013, written under the nom de plume Caius Marcus Idaeus, a book that has received rave reviews, from many different leaders and intellectuals in the pro-white movement. A writer by trade, Borsella is also a historian, researcher, and political activist with a master's degree in history from the prestigious City College of New York, CUNY. He also holds a bachelor's degree in historical studies with an emphasis in world civilizations and a minor in cultural studies from SUNY Empire State College. Borsella has often stated that his intense and interdisciplinary training in the humanities, he goes on and on about this, particularly in the fields of world cultures and civilizations, the classics, European studies, politics, and geopolitical theory, coupled with his lifelong love of history in general, has made it possible for him to speak comfortably, if not exhaustively, on any given historical and political topic. A New York native, Borsella was employed between 2006 and 2009 as a chief information gatherer and data analyst in two separate departments of the United Nations. I don't know if he was a chief information gatherer, but I haven't tried to look into that, but if anybody wanted to, they maybe could find out what his titles were there between 2006 and 2009. Recall it was 2009 when Rodney retired and started his new career. Anyway, they didn't know each other at the time, I'm quite sure. While there, Borsella carefully and rigorously scrutinized all data for relevance, verity, usefulness, and balance. Oh, yeah. From a wide variety of both foreign and organizational sources. He resigned his position in 2009, citing ethical differences with the UN's liberal leftist directorate. Well, it would have to be around then that he will be saying that that's when he began to wake up and to change, because before that, as we know from websites that he had and web forums that he ran and so on, he was considered a liberal and a multiculturalist, even a multiracialist, and all of that kind of thing. He was very much into that, and he was working at the UN. And as I said, you know, he's, as far as I know, his address is with his parents, living with his parents. But on a recent show, he said that he was fortunate in that there was family property, and he lived on one of the family properties, like he had an apartment or something. But it was owned by his family. And so he's never really had to do much. I mean, this job at the UN, he spent a lot of time writing his books before he worked at the UN. So, I don't know what he was going to school and writing books and so on, living on his parents. Upon leaving the United Nations, Barcella began a career as a freelance for countless minor and major publications all over the English-speaking world. Listen to that. Countless, countless minor and major publications. I doubt it. So he wrote for a few little magazines or something, published something of his, and he published his own books, you know, that he wrote. So he says most of his articles focused on cyclical history and cultural dissonance. You know, he tries to be a real super duper intellectual. He's talking here about utilizing algorithmic tool for accurately approximating, just too much, appearance of unknown variables in international relations. What a bunch of mumbo jumbo, things. Says his articles were translated into other languages, including French, German, Italian, Spanish, Greek, Russian, Arabic, and Farsi. But nobody ever heard of him, but anyway. Ever since he could remember, Barcella has been proud of his own rich European ethnic tapestry as someone who is 5/8 Italian, 1/4 Russian-Ukrainian, and 1/8 English-Irish. And for that reason, since he is a majority Italian and 1/4 Ukrainian, now he's saying here Russian-Ukrainian, but another place it just says Ukrainian, and only 1/8 English-Irish, probably Irish, you know, he says, the blood of the 4 major ethno-linguistic subgroups of Europe runs through my veins with the confluent force of a mighty river, the Latins, the Slavs, Teutons, and Celts. Well, where is the Teutons? There's no Teutons. He thinks that 1/8 English, Irish, gives him Teutonic and Celtic blood. You know, this is the kind of person he is. He's a bombastic, over-the-top, in love with himself, arrogant, you know what? And he continues now with his hobbies, you know, he hikes and enjoys nature, arrowhead collecting, listening to classical music, attending the New York Philharmonic, visiting quality museums, cooking, weightlifting, working out, spending good quality time with friends and family. Well, as I've said in the past, he's now 35 years old, or 36 maybe, and he never seems to have had a girlfriend. I mean, you don't have to get married, and you don't, you know, he's certainly not married, not no children, but it never seemed like he's ever had a girlfriend. And the way he communicated with me when he didn't, when he thought I was just some woman, was horrendous. And I think he has a true, inability to see women as equal. And this, I say he's reinvented himself, but, you know, he started out as a big, huge fan of Norman Lowell, who David Bailey also was totally taken up with by, back in 2010 when Norman came out. And I didn't have anything against him, but when I saw him and heard him and listened to him and so on, I was just turned off by Norman Lowell. But these guys think he's just super duper. And he was so taken by Norman Lowell that he said that's why he wrote his book, which he named his radio program after, the Imperium Manifesto. And because Norman Lowell is all about the Imperium, the White Imperium, and maybe I'll get into that sometime. It never appealed to me. Now, but he was, I was looking back, I guess I found this. He was interviewed by Tom Sunick on Tom Sunick's radio show, The Sunick Journal, at Voice of Reason, when I was there. This show was November 30th, 2010, which is 9 months after I started my Heretics Hour show there. And this is the program post. It says Tom Sunick and Caius Marcus Idaeus, that's the name he went by then, discuss Caius's study of history and observations of the university environment, degeneracy and affirmative action at the United Nations. So he was critical of the United Nations after he left there. Caius' book, The Imperium Manifesto, and then Spirituality and Religion in the Imperium. And you know that it wasn't anything to do with Christian, for sure, and he was anti-Christian at the time. And then the last point, the importance of pride and high culture. And as I already was mentioning, but his pride showed up in any number of ways, and he's super sensitive to slights, too. Although he comes across as very relaxed and easygoing now, more than he used to be. And he writes about himself on this thing, this identification on Tom Sunick's show. Caius Marcus Idaeus is a New York native, a graduate student of history, former United Nations staff member. He was just a staff member. I don't think he was chief of anything. And the author of the book, The Imperium Manifesto. Manifesto, not mandate. A doctrine for the coming of God, a government, and a new age. In this work, Idaeus covers topics ranging from matters of spirituality and race to the realms of culture, politics, economics, and the environment, and outlines a structured plan of action for the total global recovery of the white race. To order a copy, visit lulu.com. So this is the Imperium. The White Imperium is that it's going to be a global white movement. I mean, every white person in every white country will be united in this imperium that Norman Lowell was promoting. And he was going to be the head of it, naturally. And this Marcus, or our friend Christopher Barcella, also imagines that he is of the elite and would be a leader heading up these things that he was describing in his book. And in this picture that was with the program, he looks like a Sicilian mafia guy. It's very dark. You can't see it very well, but in other pictures, he kind of looks that way. He's very Italian, and he has said that he's all his ancestors are from southern Italy, Naples and further south, Naples and those places down around there. He's of that macho, you know, that super Latin, you know, when you get that far south, the Latin thing and, you know, the macho, male, very similar to the Mexican macho male. They all have that. Let's see, the time, I've got these, comments that were written that were revealing about him. I'll just read the parts that I've bolded. He wrote to the fellow called a German who was writing on there a lot at the time. And he said that they were talking about the spiritual side of things. And he says, yes, we look back on the National Socialist era with a great deal of reverence and nostalgia. This is from Chris Barcella. But there can be no doubt that the NS system made a number of errors. Specifically, we Imperiums agree with the meritocratic tradition, and elite, not based on royal pedigree, but on accomplishment. And, then he writes to somebody named Giorgio, who made a comment, and he says, you will realize that we as a race have no choice at this stage but to unite into a greater Imperium, meaning power in Latin. Imperium means power in Latin. And leave our petty provincialisms at the door. By the petty provincialisms, he means any kind of disagreement between ethnic or national, any nationalism, right? Any ethnic nationalism that might be, like, say, between Germans and Poles, or between English and Irish, or, you know, what have you. We have to give all that up because we're all going to be one big thing. And he says, who will form this vanguard of the elite? They will come from all the kindred subgroups of white Europid peoples. They will be the best and brightest, the toughest, the most cultured. They will be experts in all fields of human existence, spirituality, race, high culture, high politics. These are the overmen of Nietzschean fame. Now, these people are just dreaming. They really buy into the idea of all these old ancient white men of such great strength and intelligence and creativity and so on. And they then there's all the common white people who are just going to be told what to do, really, and be a part of all this. But they think that that there are these overmen. And that they can pull this off, or they just pretend like they can because they like, it's like, to me, it's like little boys playing in a clubhouse. You know, they're playing their fantasies out. They're pretending that they're something, whatever little boys might be pretending to be in their clubhouse. And they even keep the girls out, you know. They don't really want, there's no place here for women except as, perpetuating the race, the great white race that they're in. And I'm all for whiteness, but not the way they imagine it to be. And so as they're playing their fantasy games, they don't really think about what's possible and what isn't possible. They're just carried away in the glory of it all. And he says, if you are a white person, no matter if you are a Teuton, a Latin, a Slav, a Celt, Greek, etc., then you are a citizen of the Imperium. This is a citizenship based on blood, he writes. But, you know, there's no blood kinship between a Teuton and a Latin or a Slav. I mean, they don't have the same blood. There's no white blood. People want to imagine that, but there isn't. And this thing about Europids, I'm not sure why that word is used, Europid, but he says those who are outside are blacks, Mongoloids, Mestizos, Semites, Hamites, Eskimos, Pygmies, you know, etc. Here's where he again repeats that his ancestry is 5/8 Italian, 1/4 Ukrainian, and 1/8 English Irish. I think he added that Russian Ukrainian because it sounded better for the American Nationalist Association. And he says, so I am even more of a Europid than some folks over in Europe, simply because I have a greater range of pan-European DNA from the Latins, Slavs, Teutons, and Celts. Well, now here he was, and he was explaining at this time also this 7 sacred super regions and what they were, where all the white people live, and blah, blah. I'm going to not read any more of this stuff, although it's kind of interesting. He talks about that all Europid peoples belong to one united master race of biological aristocrats. That's going a bit too far, don't you think? I mean, I think it's going a bit too far. That all white people are just so, such master race people. We're just our own people, and we want to be allowed to be who and what we are and do our thing without interference, and we can do quite a lot, as we've proved throughout our history, our long history. But this kind of Imperium stuff gets to me. But David Bailey likes it, so he brought him on his program when he was got a program with Rodney Martin's in the beginning with Rodney Martin's network, and then that's how Borsella got associated with them. And on a recent show, recently Borsella was on David Bailey's show. They go on each other's shows fairly often. He said on this show, it was just like a week, 2 weeks ago at the most, that he's given up Imperium Europa, which is the website of Norman Lowell, which he was a tremendous, you know, fanatic fan of for so long, and even named his own show, and he wrote his books about the Imperium. He says he's given it up because they support Kevin Alfred Strome. And Rodney Martin attacks Kevin Alfred Strome, so he can't do that. And this Chris Borsella has turned on a dime, is what I'd say. It didn't happen just that fast, but he has turned around. He's given up all his old Imperium loyalties, and he's turning now to what? Rosenberg, Alfred Rosenberg, Rodney Martin's favorite National Socialist. Borsella tells us he just fell in love with Myth of the 20th Century. That's a book most people can't read. I did read it, and, you know, I thought I liked it because I like Rosenberg, too. But he really goes for this because it talks a lot about white religion and white spirituality and so on. And he says, and so now Chris Borsella, who before was saying, well, we have some feeling for the old National Socialism, but we have something much better. We don't want to go back to that. Now, with his association with Rodney, he's now fully National Socialist. He talks about it all the time, and he mentions it and Hitler like he couldn't be anything better. All in order to fit in with Chairman Rod. And he's so respectful and even practically genuflex to Rodney Martin. And he'll say, well, as our chairman, Rodney said so well. And he's always inferring that Rodney's so brilliant and he's, you know, just nobody better than Rodney. Borsella said on this program that he doesn't know whether Mein Kampf is the Bible for the white man or Myth of the 20th Century, or his new Bible or something like that. Mein Kampf or Myth of the 20th Century by Rosenberg. I just laugh and laugh at that. And you know what's funniest is that Adolf Hitler hated Rosenberg's book, Myth of the 20th Century. He actually kind of made fun of it and said that it was unreadable. And nobody would read it, and he certainly didn't read it. He often kind of made fun of Rosenberg. Rosenberg ended up, I like Rosenberg, so it kind of hurts, makes me sad. I don't really like that, but it was true anyway. Hitler was not a fan of the way Rosenberg thought, although he certainly respected him enough to have him write a bunch of stuff and be in charge of a lot of things. So it wasn't that, but I guess he thought he went a little overboard. And, of course, Rosenberg was another anti-Christian, although he was arguing very much for the German Christianity in the book Myth of the 20th Century. So it's not all just one way or the other. But I just wanted to point out with this that our Christo Gianni has completely reinvented himself to fit Rodney Martin and the ANA. And so he could have a home. Maybe because he was homeless and didn't know where to go and know what to do. And he must believe that this has possibilities and maybe income. Maybe income. That's where this $30 a year comes in. I mean, if they're working very hard at this now. And I don't know that they have a single member. But if they could convince, if they could actually take hold and convince people that, that they're going to do something, which I don't believe that the people there, the four of them, the four main people who have done all this, written their platform and their racial policy and so on, can possibly do anything. But if they can get $30 a year from quite a number of people, just think. So that may be what they're looking forward to. And, you know, Chris Borsella also said on that program, I think, or one of his recent programs, that he mentioned Tom Sunak, and he said, my good friend Tom Sunak. So they're still friends. And Tom Sunak had a lot of gays, homosexuals, that he interviewed that I thought, I didn't even know at the time they were, you know, I mean, I didn't think of them as homosexuals, except for a couple of them, and I thought he just didn't know any better. But I think that's not true now. I think that he's very comfortable. He always has been with homosexuals. So I wonder about him, too. Sorry about that if I'm sounding awful. Yeah, I know he's married, but that doesn't mean a whole lot, and they don't have any children. But it doesn't mean he is either. It's, I wouldn't, you know, go by that, but it's always something that makes you kind of think. Because, well, I was going to mention here some things. Another one is Robert Stark, who is a regular on Countercurrents now. And I was going to talk a little bit about West Coast nationalism, but I don't have time for that. And Greg Johnson, but going on to, the American Nationalist Association has now posted their racial policy. They're copying the NSDAP altogether. With they've got a platform with 25 points, and they're, you know, kind of they've adapted it to the United States and to Americans and to, you know, modern times or something. But it's probably they probably followed that right down the line. And then they have this racial policy, which is that only Aryans can be members of this American Nationalist Association. Why didn't they call it the Aryan National Association? Something, I don't know. Or they want it, they think they're going to change America into Aryan or white country. But they say in their racial policy, they've got it worked out that an Aryan is someone with four confirmed Aryan grandparents. And a person with three confirmed Aryan grandparents and one non-Aryan is a Mischling or crossbreed. And they can support the cause of the American Nationalist Association monetarily. Why they would want to, I don't know. But they cannot be considered a full member unless they're a full Aryan. And then a person with only two Aryan grandparents is ineligible to be considered for membership. And any Aryan who is a legitimate Aryan but who is engaged in active sexual perversion, which includes yet is not limited to miscegenation, pedophilia, bestiality, homosexuality, is excluded from consideration altogether and without exception. And yet, you know, I'm going to bring, that's why I bring this up about Chris Borsella being homosexual. I think, you know, I've thought all along for other reasons, some pictures which are no longer around. There were pictures of him, two of them that are kind of more recent looking pictures. And David Bailey had one of them on a program that he did with Borsella, but they've been removed, and they're also removed, seem to be removed from the internet. Cause I saw one on his, on the Google image page, those pictures of him. I didn't think they would disappear. I was looking for them, and they're not there anymore. And instead what we have is, and what they've used on this page at the ANA is kind of a funny looking old picture. Let's see, I've got it here. Small, very small. Oh yeah, there's two of them. I've got two pictures of him. The one they use is this color one with his name printed on it. He's smiling. Then there's another one at Google Images where, once again, he looks like a real Dago-type Italian gangster or something from the 1920s or whatever. And he's got that... I don't know if he's got a hat on. I think he's got a hat. Yeah, because he shaves his head. So he's got a hat on, I guess. It's not hair. I don't think that's black hair. The other thing I was going to say about him, he talks a lot about Nordics. On the last of the programs that they were discussing their platform and stuff, he was constantly bringing up Nordics and how important Nordics are. Nordics, Nordics. Well, doesn't have a drop of Nordic blood in him, or genes or whatever. And, yet he pushes that because he has to be associated with it or something. So I would say that these four people, Rodney Martin, Chris Porcella, and then, Robert Lloyd and David Bailey, don't instill any confidence in me. And I cannot imagine. Now, let me try to tie this together. I spent so much time on this. And then I've got this other thing about Elie Wiesel too and Rodney Martin. So, talking about clowns in the movement or clowns in our ranks and talking about, if they're the enemy or not, are they the enemy or are they just clowns? Are they just people doing their thing? But how harmless is it? Is it harmless what they're doing? I think it's not harmless. Now, here's something I'm going to have to go through. That's Rodney's Friday program with Paul Topetti. Okay. I'm glad I just saw this here and didn't forget it. So Rodney, you know, has been making a big deal about going to the Freedom Palooza put on by Paul Topetti, the musician who has, I believe it's a Mexican mother and a white American father. So he's half Mexican. That's no secret. It's not a problem that he has his Freedom Palooza and that, people go there and all. It's a music festival, but it's also political. And there's speeches and so on. And Rodney has been saying how he's going to be there with his family. The thing is, he brought it up at the same time that there were these questions about his wife's ethnicity. And he would not show a picture of her, you know. And he said he's going to be in Pennsylvania at Paul Topetti's Freedom Palooza, and people can come there and meet his wife. And he said that, and you know, and that's all he would say about it. And I finally posted the picture because somebody sent it to me, which is from his campaign literature, which is not available. I don't know how they got hold of it. So I posted that picture of his wife. He didn't. Why not? You know, this again, he won't answer that question. He won't answer anything. He just comes across, and what he did on this Paul Topetti show, on his show, we had Paul Topetti as a guest, and this was just Friday, this past Friday. They're talking away, and they were talking about Abe Foxman, and Rodney's bringing out how Abe Foxman a year ago made another attack on Paul Topetti in his band. Well, you know, this is probably just one of these regular things that Anti-Defamation League does to, you know, do a little story on somebody. They've even done one. They've done one on me, and I've said this before, and so has this, the SPLC done one on me. It's not a big deal, but they're talking about that, and Rodney's making out that he's just been such a victim, so victimized. Paul has been. And then he wants to bring in what I'm doing. He wants to bring me in, but he never uses my name, you know. And so he gets into a hysterical sounding pretend high-pitched voice, and Rodney says to Paul, they were talking about agents phone banking. Well, first Rodney mentions agents who do phone banking and use phone trees, and then he says in this high-pitched voice, "What are these Jewish Internet Defense Force agents is targeting me and saying, oh, Rodney Martin's going to Freedom Palooza, and who can really get there, and blah, 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 blah." Yeah, he said it five times, five blahs. "You know, they an executive director agent down in Texas that's been working overtime for whatever they get, $400 a week, haha," and they both laugh, and Rodney says, "and whatever, but they work overtime, busy bees, calling people," and then he doesn't know where to go from there, so he just stops and he says, "but what I really think they're after is that they do not want our people to meet in person and do in-person movements." That's how Rodney Martin attempts to answer me and what I'm saying about him, by calling me an executive director Jewish agent down in Texas. He said, Jewish Internet Defense Force agents. That's what I'm supposed to be, a Jewish Internet Defense Force agent, working overtime, calling people on the phone and so on. Or calling him on Skype or whatever, which I don't really call people and talk about him at all. I do it right here on my show. So, then Paul is defending having Cynthia McKinney at his Freedom Palooza, you know, the black woman, because she talks about the Jews. So I guess if you talk about the Jews, that's all right. And then right before the break, Rodney goes back to that and tries to get in another hit against me. He says, "We had one of these Jewish commandos saying, well, no one can get there anyway," as though my comments that people should not be expected to go all the way to Pennsylvania to the Freedom Palooza in order to find out about Rodney's wife when he can easily let people know, he totally ignores that and makes out that it's something else, that I'm trying to put down this Freedom Palooza event, you see. And that's a good example right there of why it's like, is this person just a clown and a fool, or is this something more serious that we really shouldn't be willing to tolerate among us? Because it's one thing to tell facts about people that you have, that you can document and that you show where they come from and there's something real, even if it's not very friendly, even if it's not kind, even if it's harmful to that person. But if it's the truth, And they, you know, have an opportunity to come back and counter it and say whether it's, you know, say it's not true and why and whatever. They can say what is true, but they don't do it, you see. Instead, they play these kind of games and calling people Jewish when everyone knows that I'm not Jewish and I'm not a Jewish commando or anything like that. And people know that. So it's, you know, some people will be saying, "Well, Carolyn, why even talk about it? Why even go on about it?" Well, it's not because this kind of thing bothers me, but Rodney himself bothers me. The way he does things, you know, his dishonesty and his foolishness, making white nationalists look bad, if you ask me, and lying and so on. This bothers me a lot, and so I use it as an example, but it's probably the worst that I know of. Anyway, after the break, he starts in on the same subject and starts talking about trolls and saying they have nothing better to do but sit behind their keyboards, which is something that he constantly implies about me, that I'm a person that doesn't do anything but sit, but type on my keyboard. Freedom Palooza, Paul says it's mostly about illegal immigrants. No, I say that from what they were saying, what Paul was saying, Freedom Palooza is mostly about illegal immigration. It's mostly been about that, as it's been going on for a few years now. And so that naturally brings up, that this is a white country that's being, you know, changed, and that brings up Jews and so on too. But that's more like, just part of the main issue is, illegal immigration. And also 9/11. It's been very big about 9/11 and hating the Bushes and hating the politicians and so on, you know, that kind of thing. And then Paul makes a remark, I love the Mexican people, but he doesn't want them to be coming up, you know, he thinks they should stay at home. That's fine. Rodney, who John King says lives in a Mexican, very, very Mexican neighborhood himself, which he doesn't, you know, say, but blames the Jews for it and says it's not, you know, it's not like not the Mexicans. Well, we know it's the Jews' fault. It's the Jews behind it all. And the event is going to be from Thursday to Sunday. And as he says, who's going to be there? He said speakers would be Phil Berg, who is not a Jew, even though his name is Berg, but that's I don't think he is. And Dr. Alan Zabrowski, who is a Jew, and a wide breadth of other Americans, which means it's and there's Cynthia McKinney, whether she'll be there, I don't know, and Zabrowski, the Jew. So it's not a white event like Rodney was trying to say. Well, it's just a great place to go and meet your white, you know, other white people and white event and so on. When he says these things, Rodney doesn't say anything. He stays quiet. And then Rodney started in on a new theme. No one will tell me what my speakers tell me or what my speakers, what they can say. He's pushing once again Freedom Palooza as an anti-Jew event, which it really isn't. And let's see what I got here. What's important here? So the other people that are going to be here, well, Rodney's just trying to kind of guide the conversation to where he can make his points against people like me and somebody who's trying to stop people from going to his to this thing. And then he asked who's going to be there, and guess who's going to be there at this thing, you know, besides Alan Zabrowski, who's going to be speaking, and Rodney Martin is going to be speaking, and Jim Trafficant, and Jim Condit, who's very anti-Hitler, and Larry Sinclair, and I don't know anything about Larry Sinclair, but some people do, whistleblower Karen Potowski, Clay Douglas, Jack Blood, Art Larson from No Place for Corruption, and the Watchman Militia, American Patriots, are going to be helping out with security. And you can carry your gun out in the open. And also he's going to ask Merlin Miller to come, and he hopes Phil Turney will come, and even Paul Findlay. Now, these are all right people, but, you know, this is not, they would not be on board necessarily with what Rodney's American Nationalist Association is doing in the way they talk about it. So it's a kind of a strange thing that he's pushing this and saying he's there to help Paul Tepeti. Paul Tepeti is not in line with what Rodney. Paul Tepeti even made the comment that he was talking about the Jews or something. He said, I've even spoken about this to Jewish friends. So Paul Tepeti has Jewish friends, and probably all these people have Jewish friends. They're not the kind of people who won't have a Jewish friend. It's all a little bit on the, in a way that doesn't make any sense. You know, nothing really comes together. Nothing about Rodney Martin makes a lot of sense. And he's, as I said about Borsella, it's same with Rodney. He'll change and he'll fit himself into whatever he thinks will be to his benefit. And that's what a politician does. A politician will go anywhere that he's invited, where he's going to meet people and he's going to be able to promote his own things. I imagine that's what Rodney thinks he's going to do. He's not going out there because he thinks Paul Tepeny needs his help. He's got all these other people to help him. You know, he's not worried. Paul made it clear he doesn't really care much about the. I was going to offer people to call in, and here I'm yakking away. The show's almost over. I forgot to do it. Okay, one last thing here, and that is I was going to talk about this last week. On Elie Wiesel Kahn's The World, and I could do a whole article, which I don't feel like doing, but of the similarity between Elie Wiesel and Rodney Martin. And probably from that, you know, Elie Wiesel would just be an example of Holocaust survivors in the way they, and the way they lie, and Jews in the way they lie. And I did a story, this was, I don't remember when it was, last year at least, about this Jewish head rabbi in France, Giles Bernheim, who was accused of plagiarism and how he denied it several times and made up stories that were very much like the way Rodney Martin has denied what's in those newspaper articles and makes up stories about them, about, you know, that it wasn't really him or he didn't really say those things. And so when this chief rabbi the head rabbi was accused by some organization that checks these things out, called a website that discovered similarities between Bernheim's work and an interview of the philosopher Jean-François Lyotard in a book. But before that, it's about Bernheim's, I'll answer that call in just a minute. It's about Bernheim's, book of poetry. No, a book of meditations that he wrote, Jewish meditations. And then it was found that a lot of it was copied. Some of it was copied from, Catholic meditations. And one thing was from Pope Benedict. and anyway, all this was shown. And what did he say? He denied it. I can't find where he denied it. He denied it in a childish way. And then some more stuff was found about his plagiarism. And then he tried to cover for himself and he blamed it on, other people who he gave lessons to, and they gave his stuff to these other people where it was found rather than him taking it from them. Well, that didn't fly. So then later some more came up and they were calling for him to answer this. And then he blamed, inadequate oversight of a student, and so on and so on, you know. So he just kept making a fool of himself by denying things, but eventually he quietly resigned without ever really answering and having to face up to, okay, here, I'm going to use a little clip. And, okay, caller, you're on. You need to turn off your radio. Hi, well, who's calling?
Carol, how you doing? This is Jim.
Oh, hi, Jim.
Good, good. Hey, I really like your program. Why are you always knocking Rodney Martin? I mean, I think he's a really a good man. I mean, I listen to his podcast, and I think he's a very intelligent guy. I think he has a lot to say. I mean, I like you too, but I mean, I don't think we should be attacking him like that. I mean, you know, we're all on the same team. I think we've got to work together, you know? That's the thing. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't see anything wrong with Rodney. I think he has a lot. He's an intelligent man. He has a lot of good things to say, you know? Carolyn? Hello?
Here we go. Now I'm probably, now you can probably hear me. I'm sorry, I muted the mic and then this call got hung up, but he seems to still be here, but he's not on. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm screwing around with my beautiful new SkyCon page, not realizing some of the things I'm doing here. Okay, that was Jim, who thinks Ronnie Martin is just a great guy, and he doesn't know why I'm talking about him like this. I would sure like to get some, you know, I invite people to write comments about this. If you think, I've had some listeners here who's hung in, who seem to have wanted to listen to it. If you think that this is all a big waste of time, yeah, I'd like to hear from you about that. Or if you think that there's some purpose in it, then I've got my 60-second warning there, but I'm not hearing it, so I'll have to watch it. If you think that, if you agree with me on this, I'd like to hear from you. If you don't agree with me, I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear why, and I want you to answer. The question is, when I am telling, I'm only saying things that are true, and Ronnie Martin has said a lot of things that are not true, not at all true. He's not said anything that's true about me. So I think there's a Jim is obviously, there's a lot of people that are a lot more easygoing, only want to be entertained. They enjoy listening to this or to that. They're not thinking about the long-term goal. They're only wanting to listen to radio programs. That's part of what I would say about this. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening tonight. I wish I could have gotten more accomplished, but we'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit Carolyn's website at carolynyeager.com.